Sunday, Chof Nissen, Chol Hamoed Pesach, Rabbi Yaakov Shechter, Hakdama to Shvi Shal Pesach, Be'inyan Kabbalas and Malchus Shemaim.
B'shech Beruch, Rabbi Moiri, Shema Yisrua El Hashem Elekaini Hashem Eichod is possibly the most recognized feature of every Yid, however far he may be. Even there's a famous Masi with one of the Gedolei Yisrael after the Muchoma, that there were Yiddish kinder that were taken by the Goyim to convents to be looked after, and when the Yidden tried to extract the Yiddish kinder from between the Goyshe, they were completely denied that there were any Yidden there. So one of the Gedolei Yisrael said that he can prove it easily. So they let him in, they gave him a couple of minutes, and he stood there in front of all the children in the convent, and he picked up his right hand over his eyes, and he said, Shema Yisrael, and a few of the children, boys and the girls, slowly, little hands went up over their eyes, and he said, oh, that's mine, and that's mine, and that's mine. So something, Shema Yisrael, which is so deep in the bones of every Yiddish kind, it's worth knowing a little bit exactly what the mitzvah is. There's a machlokes rishonim bechlal what the mitzvah Shema Yisrael is, for every day to be makabel ol malchus shemayim. There's some rishonim that say that it's totally based on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Emunah, the Hashem who created the world, is the same Hashem that took us out of Mitzrayim. The Rambam and others in Pashtus and Mishneh Berurah takes on Azoy in the first Tikkun Bi'aluche that it includes the mitzvah bechlal of Emunah. That Hashem created the whole world. Hashem's Hashem's oneness means, it doesn't mean that Hashem is the only one. But Achdus Hashem means there is nothing else but Hashem. So we'll explore a little bit what the mitzvah is, and maybe suggest a novel pshat in the issa of Chometz and Pesach, and a chiddush in the way of being mekayim this mitzvah of Kavulas O Malchus Shemayim. And maybe even a fresh attitude bechlal for a career in Avodas Hashem, which will enhance every mitzvah, not only the mitzvah Shema. The Mishneh Berurah is mashma in Bi'aluche that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Me'etz Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, is just a proof that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is the creator of the world from nothing to everything which it is. And the raya, the proof is that you can see how he demonstrated his complete control over everything by the way he took us out of Mitzrayim, all the makas, the kriyas yamsef. That's the biggest proof that Hashem was taka, his control of everything. If he wouldn't have created it, how would he have such a deep control of everything? But the Rambam is mashma that no, there's a yediyah, there's a certain fact, a certain amount of knowledge which a person has to have in his head, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and then he can say, I'm mekabel on myself, I accept upon myself the fact that Hashem, oil malchus shemayim, the yoke of Hashem is kingship, and with that little bit of piece of knowledge, we see exactly how it helps, then I can say with a full conviction that Hashem elekaini Hashem echad. How does it work? Shema, the word Shema means listen. But the word Shema means be totally convinced. Shema Yisrael, Yiddish kinder, be totally convinced that what? That Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs mentions almost all the Shema. Everybody, when they mention the mitzvah of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, everybody mentions the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Now how does Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim give anything extra over and above the fact that Hashem was Boirei Shemayim Ve'oretz? Being creator of the world from scratch is enough to bring a person to Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Everybody mentions again and again that there's some type of chov, an obligation to have in your mind programmed a certain lesson from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and with that in mind, you can be yotze to the mitzvah of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim B'Shleimus. So if we examine a little bit what Yetzias Mitzrayim was, then we'll understand maybe how that helps for Kabbalah and Malchus Shemayim. The Pusik says, the very first time that we hear a little bit of Hashem's plan to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim is when Hashem called Moshe Rabbein and he said to him, Es tzakusam shomati mipnei noiksav yadati es machoiva. Hashem said, I've heard them crying out to me from their labor in Mitzrayim in front of their taskmaster, the people who are forcing them to work, and I've heard their pain. The Rekeach asks the Kasha. Start off the Pusik is tzakusam. I heard their cry in the plural. And then it finishes up, Mipnei Noiksov, from his taskmaster, from his panige. How does it work? How can it be? Why did the person start off in the plural and finish off in the singular, as if you're talking to an individual yid? So he's meramis to this pshat, but I'll make it a little bit more flowery with a mushel. Imagine that there's 250 people waiting for their plane in the airport, and the plane is delayed, and everybody gets given out vouchers to stay in a local hotel, and they're going to get their first plane in the morning. And somebody, one representative from the airline, speaks over the loudspeaker and he apologizes to everybody and gives everybody vouchers for food and for the hotel and compensation, and they're going to get the first class treatment tomorrow. But nothing more he can do than apologize. The plane is not going. Now there's two types of passenger on that plane. There are some passengers who have just finished their holiday and they've had what they wanted and they stay another day. It's inconvenient, but it's not the end of the world. And there's another person there who's going to miss his first Einikus Chasen. And the same apology was meant to cover everybody. Nobody's going to feel, each individual person doesn't feel the same Nechoma and the same, doesn't accept the apology in the same way. He doesn't feel he's been listened to Bechlal. Nobody understood his angle of the Tzorah. If I say slightly different, Moshe, if everybody at these times, everybody's having problems with panusa, need shalas and eitzes with chinuch, if a rov would just say, accept everybody with the same sort of nisach, yeah, everybody's in the same pekel, yeah, Hashem should help. Yeah. A rov that listens to each person and hears his particular set of circumstances, why, at the end of the day, could be lots of people more or less a sort of similar circumstance. Oh, but if the person feels he's been listened to, every little knight, every little angle of his personal circumstance have been listened to, the person who missed the plane didn't have that nechama. So says the Rekayach that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell the Yidden that I've heard them all shouting to me together, their collective davening, I've heard, but nobody should feel that because it was a collective davening it was just a yeah, alright, I'll take you out. Hashem was so intently in tune with every Yid's tefillah that he heard the tefillah mipnei noiksov. He heard each individual Yid's set of circumstances, and when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell that to the Yidden, we can be sure that every Yid accepted it with a nechama. He felt, oh, Hashem heard my set of circumstances. Hashem heard my knaitch and what hurt me. Another thing we see in Mitzrayim, the same the Haguda. Pusik in the Torah. Ba'avizeh usa Hashem li etzaisim in Mitzrayim. Every Yid said, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim? All the Makkas, all the 10 Makkas, there was a common denominator. Hashem wanted to bring about a difference between the Goyim, the Mitzrayim, and the Yidden. And by effecting the makas only of the Mitzrayim, and in a miraculous way, from the same cup, a Yid could drink water and the Mitzri would drink blood, he showed the difference and his complete control over the Teva. But more importantly, he showed his distinguishment for Klal Yisrael, that a Yid is different. Now, Hashem could have made it that there were certain, in Beis HaMedrash, everybody should go to the Beis HaMedrash, and there's a communal tap, and all Yidden can go and take from that tap. Or there's a communal Beis HaMedrash hall, and there in that place, the community center, there are no frogs. And all the Makkas could have been separated between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden in a communal way. But Hashem didn't do it like that. Hashem did it that every single Yid Mikotno mat godlam, from the smallest, least madrega to the biggest yid in Mitzrayim, experienced personally a complete change in nature purely for him himself. Hashem made the nisim in such a way that every yid should be able to say afterwards that the aguda, ba'avizeh usa Hashem li. Hashem did it for me. Everybody's neshama and everybody's mahalach and machshuva chaps on a little different point to be able to understand what I want to get to. So I'm going to say a couple more mashulim, and everybody should take what talks to them better. As we can say a mushul, you have two people who are identically equipped with an ability in their hands to do a type of skilled work. They're both very, very good at it, and they produce a very high quality work. And that's what they do all day. One of them does his work with a feeling of contentment and fulfillment. He's doing something, he's producing something useful. He does it with anivus, with humility. There's another person who feels very empty with his work. Doesn't feel the fulfillment, doesn't feel the contentment. And he's always looking to advertise his products and to blow himself up and to be a balgava. And they're both identically able to do, to produce a perfect product. What's the difference between these two people? How can you solve the riddle? The answer is that one of them is employed and one of them is self-employed. The person who's employed went through a whole process of interviews, role plays, had to produce a CV, and his employers looked into every aspect of his abilities, and they selected him from 1,000 applicants and narrowed down until eventually the employer said, we are desperate in our company for somebody to come and fill this gap, and the skills you have and the abilities you have are perfect for that job, and we desperately need you, and you're the man for the job. So he goes into work every day. He knows he's wanted. He knows what he's doing is needed, and he produces a good piece of work. And the other guy, who's self-employed, he's not particularly working for anybody. There's nobody particularly who he's helping fill a gap. He's constantly looking for work, and therefore he has a completely different feeling when he's actually sitting there and doing his profession. You can say it slightly differently than mushul. If there's a board meeting in a company and they're discussing who should come and take up a particular position which is needed in the company, and they've got certain candidates and they're discussing the malas and the chesroinus of each person, and the guy is cleaning around whilst the board meeting is going on, emptying the dustbins and bringing the tea and coffee, stands up and says, you know what, I'll take on the job. Everybody understand? I mean, you're not even a candidate, you haven't got... It's very nice that you accept it on yourself, and everybody's desperately talking that we need someone to fit the job, and you think you're doing a big toiva by helping us, but you haven't understood at all what we need. Similarly, you can understand the whole tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that every yid should come out with a feeling of I b'ni b'choyri Yisrael. The words that Hashem said to Paroi, I want to take out b'ni b'choyri Yisrael, my son, my firstborn, a Yiddish kin. What does it mean b'choyri? How can it be Hashem has a b'chor? B'chor means my soul. Constant interest is in this Bashefanish. This was the tachlis of what I created the world. And Hashem wanted, it's not enough that this should be written somewhere in the Torah. Hashem wanted that every single Yid, when he came out of Mitzrayim, should be completely convinced and enthused with the fact that this is the tachlis. Hashem wanted me personally, with all Hashem's ability to know exactly my malus and my chesroinus, and what I'm good and what I'm not good at, and still I was selected. Oh, and Hashem took us out dafke when we were on the Mem Tesh Shari Tumah. Why? Because there are so many stark contrasts where the only sensible answer could be that it must be Hashem wanted it like this. The only possible answer could be Hashem loves every Yid, and that's why he did it in this way. that we should be so completely convinced of it forever and ever. That's why, Dafka, when we were on the Mem Tasharitim, Hashem took us out that we should come to the conclusion, beyond all shadow of a doubt, that there is no other explanation. It must be Hashem loves me like this. Hashem wanted this Yiddish kind. Therefore, a kabulas ol malcha shemaim, when a person takes up a position with the knowledge beforehand that I've been chosen for this job, and I'm doing a big, I'm filling a gap, I'm doing something, I'm worthwhile, that kabulas ol malcha shemaim, that's called the kabulas ol malcha shemaim. It's a little bit similar, you can say there's a love in the Torah of Loi Sachmoid. You're not allowed to be jealous. Yeah? So the Machluk is the Rambam and the Ravid, whether it's a love she'ein boi ma'aseh or the love she'yesh boi ma'aseh. Whether it's a love, it's a negative commandment of which there's action included, in which case you have Malkas or the Nisht. And the Rambam says the only over Loi Sachmoid, if you actually, for example, if somebody's very, very jealous of their neighbor's new car, so they walk around with a jealousy in their heart for a few weeks, and it builds up and it builds up, and slowly they stop talking to him, and eventually at night, when he sees the keys are on the dashboard, he nicks it. So the Rambam says, he'll only be over Loi Sachmoid. All those weeks he's walking around with a jealousy in his heart, he's not yet over Loi Sachmoid. He's only over Loi Sachmoid when he actually takes the car. And nevertheless, says the Rambam, it's a love she'ein boi ma'aseh. It's a love which doesn't have a ma'aseh. How can it be? If the Rambam says that the criteria of being over the lav include actually taking the car, then why is it called the lav she'ein boi ma'aseh? No, so upshot that the level, the depth, the quality of the jealousy has to be such a jealousy that it even brought him to take the car. So it's a measure of how jealous you have to be. The actual taking the car is not part of it, but it shows you how deep his jealousy was. Oh, that jealousy, you're over the love. But still a love she'ein boi ma'aseh. Yeah? Similarly, the mitzvah of kabulas ol malchus shemayim, it's not enough just to say, oh, I'll take up the position. It has to be, I'll take up the position with the full quality of it. It has to be with the full knowledge of Hashem needs this job filled. And He wants it filled by me. Personally. Not just as a collective part of Klal Yisrael. And you'll notice, every time we say Kriya Shema, it's always preceded by Haboicha ba'amo Yisroel ba'havo Shema Yisroel Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's part of the mitzvah. It's an integral chelik, maybe not mamash lahalocha, but in the warmth and the feeling of the mitzvah, it's an integral part of the locha. Oyhev amo Yisroel by Marv. That is the hakadomah. Otherwise, it's not a kabbalah you're accepting upon yourself. Who asked you to take up the job? Who said you're good for the job? Ah, it's only called a kabbalah so malka shemayim when you realize that I'm needed for the job and I'm good for the job. And it could be, and maybe it's a novel pshat, I don't know, a new idea. Pesach, every Yom Tov has in it its lessons. And Pesach is Hashem b'chabuni mikol ha'amim. Hashem taka chose us in Mitzrayim as Am HaNivcha, B'ni B'chayri Yisro. So, somebody, like the one of the Mesholim we said earlier, the two people who are employer, they're employed and the self-employed, the person who's employed has no gava, there's no need, he works with the contentment and fulfillment of the knowledge that he's needed. There's no need to advertise, no need to blow his own trumpet. He was selected for the job, yeah. That you're there for a reason. You've already passed that stage. Chomed is nothing but volume. It blows up the bread. It blows up the thing. The gava, of the Sforim say that the chomed is the symbol of gava. On Pesach, when you've been selected, the iss of chomed is we don't need any chomed. There's no need for the. There's no self advertisement. You've been selected. No need for chomed. The whole of 8 days of Pesach, you drum in again and again and again. I don't need any chometz. I'm here for a purpose. I'm selected to fill the gap. Similarly, every nusach habruche, we say, Asher kiddushuni b'mitzvoisav v'tzivuni. What's it mean, Asher kiddushuni b'mitzvoisav v'tzivuni? The Hashem gave us a heilikait, a kiddusha b'mitzvoisav, with His mitzvahs, v'tzivuni, and He commanded me, whichever mitzvah you happen to be doing, netilas lilev, chilas chometz, whatever it might be. Now this kedusha that we talk about in the bracha, what is this kedusha? When does it arrive? It depends on my performance of the mitzvah. Somebody who performs the mitzvah with more hiddah will get more kedusha. Somebody who performs the mitzvah less kavona will get less kedusha. And the emes is that it's true. The performance of the mitzvah obviously has an effect on how much kedusha you get from the mitzvah. But that's not what we mean in the bracha. It's definitely true. As there's a count after 120 will show a big difference if you did the mitzvah better or worse. Oh, that's not what we mean in the bracha. The bracha means asher kedishuni b'mitzvosav. At the selection stage, when Hashem selected me to give to me His commandments, that is when He imbued me with the kedusha. I'm already kodosh va'omed before I start doing the mitzvah. The reason why I'm doing the mitzvah is because Hashem selected me to do so. Asher kedishuni b'mitzvosav with His commandments. And now, this particular second, v'tzivuni He commanded me to do this particular detail or that particular detail. The ikka, the 99% of the kedusha that we're talking about when we say I'm about to perform the mitzvah is already there. It's there. The reason why I'm doing the mitzvah because I've been selected to do so. And this principle is so vital that Hashem gave us plenty of opportunities to chap it in all different areas in the Torah. There are different ways to divide up the world. Zohar Kodesh refers to Olam, Shuna, and Nefesh. You got space, and you got time, and you got the person. And in all three spheres, we see how there seems to be a very, very strong contrast of ideas. And the only answer, sensible answer, could be the conclusion which we've spoken about till now. For example, in the Mishkan, Hashem is Bilti Gevul, without any parameters. Hashem is Mole Kol Alman. He fills up all the worlds, places we don't even see. Every molecule of the world is nothing but the will of Hashem. The Rambam speaks very, very, very much detail about not putting constraints onto the size of Hashem and the look of Hashem. All the words we use are that Hashem listens with His ears and He does with His hands. Yada Chazaka. These are all just ways that we should be able to understand with our limited mind. Oh, but really, really, it's Bilti Gevul, without any parameters, without any borders. How then is it that Hashem wanted a Mishkan to be made with such exact measurements? It seems so opposite to what you would expect. Not only are there exact measurements for the Amor and for the Tefach, there's even half measurements. Chetzi Amor and 1.5 Amos for the Urim, and Azoi wide and Azoi bright and Azoi... It seems the contrast is so, so great. What's the explanation? The answer is that Hashem wanted us to realize beyond all shadow of a doubt that when Hashem constrained himself again and again, it went to the very nth degree. It went even into half middos in order that the Yid should chap and say, oh, Hashem must really want this. And every Yid that benefited from the Mishkan, whether he'd just done an Aveira and he was the lowest of Klal Yisrael, or whether he'd been Zoicha for good news and he wanted to bring a Korban Toide, or whether it was a Yom Tov he was celebrating and he went into the Mishkan after the Beis HaMikdash and he looked around him and he thought to himself, wow, Hashem wants me to do this. Otherwise, no other sensible explanation why the contrast would have been so great. And similarly with the Guf and the Neshama. A person is, the Chovos HaVavos speaks about how a person in many ways is even more lowly than an animal, the way he has to constantly clean himself and give attention to himself. Lots of examples before breakfast, I'm not going to go into exactly all the details, but the Chovos HaVavos says that a person is quite low down on the list of clean items on the world. And nevertheless, Hashem chose a guf, which has tendencies for the worst of the worst, and dafka there, Hashem said, I want my neshama to dwell there. Why? Why did Hashem do it to such a contrast, such a black and white? And the answer is, Hashem wants us to arrive at the conclusion that that is what Hashem wanted. I'm needed, that's what Hashem wanted. I saw a beautiful, one of the Gedolim said, I think it's one of the altars of Sevot, I can't remember where I saw it, said that just like there's a chiyuv to say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and to schlep it out and to think about all the ideas we've spoken about, and Hashem is Echad, one, and Ches, and the eight levels to get to Shemaim, and Dalet, the Kitzvah Seorot, the angles of the world. So just as much so, there's just as much chiyuv when we say the posik Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'uretz. You have to say there also echad, and you have to think the same oneness of Hashem that you think of by Shema Yisrael Hashem echad. You have to think of when you say about yourself, goy, about the Eden, goy echad ba'uretz, with the same pride and the same conviction. And just like Achdus Hashem, the Rambam says, doesn't mean that Hashem is one. It means there's nothing else but Hashem. So similarly, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz also means that Hashem's interest is in nothing else but a Yid. As Hakdoma for Shvi Yishel Pesach, it could be the greatest demonstration of all the examples we've spoken about of this idea is Ra'aso Shevcho Alayom Mashaloiro Yechezku Ben Bizi. That by the Shira, the Medrash tells us that every single neshama that went through Kriyas Yamsef sang the Shira. The unborn fetus, the tiny baby, the adult, the ladies, the children, the men. Even the Shevcha, even the lowly maidservant, sang Shira, and they were all Zoicha to Shechinim Medabez B'tol Groinom. The Medrash says they all started singing, they all said exactly the same words in a higher level than Neviyah. Even it wasn't just Neviyah. Pachad Yitzchak, he brings a chilek. It wasn't Neviyah. It was Shechinim Medaberes Metoch Groinom. It was mamash a top level, and they were zoicha to see a revelation of Hashem. They were taken into Hashem's private quarters on such a level, more than Yecheskel Ben Bizi. You have to understand what does it mean the Shivcha saw more than Yecheskel Ben Bizi. What is the point we're trying to say? Is it that the revelation was a greater revelation than Yechezkel Ben Bizi was shown, in which case it's got nothing really to do with the Shivcha? Everybody saw greater than Yechezkel Ben Bizi. Or is it no, that it was very similar to Yechezkel Ben Bizi, but because the Shivcha is such a lowly madrega, it's a chiddush that even she saw it? The pshat is that Hashem wanted even the lowly Shivcha forevermore to know that she was also shown exactly the same as everybody else in Klal Yisrael, and that every Yid from then on should realize that, oh, Hashem is just as interested in bringing me into his private headquarters as the Yid on the higher level. It's interesting then that if you look in the Torah, it only says Hashem Yimloich Lo'ilam Vu'ed once in the Shira. And in every Siddur, everybody says every day, but davening, say twice. Why do you say it twice? So in Avidruam, who is Mazbeel Lutfilis, he says that push, when you finish an Inyan, you always double over the last Pusik. Like you say at the end of Tehillim, Kala Nashoma Talika, you say twice. Oirach Yoma must be Ayy, is also a certain end to a part of the. Various times we see where you say the last part twice, it's just a simon that you finished it. The Maharal asks, it's not so pushed that is the pshat, because if you look in the Sefer Torah, I have to mention something to do with Sofras also. There's the way the Shira is written is like a building with bricks, with gaps in between. And after Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed, you got the Pusik, Kivosis Parei Berich Be'Farush Be'Yom, and that Pusik also is written in the same form as the Shira in the Torah, even after Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed. So it seems that Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed is not mamash the end. In which case, why do we say it twice? So, Maral's got a whole pshat. And I'd always thought to myself, till now, it could be pshat. Now I'm going to say slightly different, but I thought of it till now. Saying over that somebody else was Makabal Ol Malchus Shemayim, which is what Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed means. Saying over that somebody else did it is no big deal. But to say it yourself. So we say over that these people that came out of Mitzrayim said once Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed, and the second time is for me myself. I also want to say Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vu'ed. But according to what we're speaking about now, it's even nicer. Once we've read the Shira and we've understood that even the Shivcha said all this, Therefore, that gives me, even in the later doiras of Ikvah Siddur Mashiach, in our lowly level, and we're so, so far removed from ever seeing Nissim and things like this, we just about managed to say stories from 150, 200 years ago of Talmidei Baal Shem and the Grace of Nissim, and Nissim for Yetzias Mitzrayim is an, our level of Ikvah Siddur Mashiach is so, so far gone, so, so far down the line. It's the Shivcha Taka that gives us this enthusiasm to be able to say ourselves. When we read that the Shivcha said Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vod, oh, I can also say Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vod. Similarly, one more little thing that fits in nicely. The Shem Mishmiel asks a very deep kasha. It says, the Medrash says, when the Eden came out of Mitzrayim, it says a mushul, a king went past with his soldiers, and they went past a group of bandits, and there was a lady that was captured there by the bandits. And the lady shouted out, "Help, help," the whole time she was shouting, "Help, help." And the king went past, he heard the "help, help." And he went and he pushed away the listim, the bandits, and he saved her. And he gave her food and brought her back to health. And he saw that she was a very nice lady, he wanted to marry her. And she wasn't interested in even speaking to him. He didn't know what to do. So he had a plan. He got his soldiers to dress up like bandits again and to capture her. And obviously she shouted again to him for help. And he said, "Okay, but I'll help you again, but I want you to, now you should be mine." And she agreed. Says the Medrash, the same thing. When we were in Mitzrayim, we cried out to Hashem for help. And then when we came to the Yam Suf, Hashem wanted to hear it again. That's what the Medrash says. So first of all, the Medrash itself says that, what does it mean, ma titzakei lo, is mashma that Hashem didn't want the Yidden to daven. So the Medrash itself says, the Medrash himself finishes off, that no, the Yidden Hashem wanted to daven, but once the Yidden had davened, Moshe Rabbeinu carried on davening, that's what Hashem didn't want. That's what the Medrash says. But says that, ask Hashem Mishmiel, Hashem is hoya hoiva v'yiyye. Hashem experiences all realms of time constantly. Hashem needs to hear something again? He's constantly hearing what once was. Why does Hashem need to hear again? Make a whole show and a whole dust that we should hear again? Just hear again. Hashem constantly hears what's happening all the time, what was and what will be and what is. Why does he need to Hashem? It could be, that the emissary didn't absolutely understand what he answers. But the answer could be, according to what we're saying, the first time the Yidden davened in Mitzrayim, before all the Makkos, and Hashem said, "Okay, I'm going to take them out," they weren't davening with any specific belief in themselves, with any specific conviction that this is who they're meant to be davening to. They weren't even aware exactly who they were davening to. They were just shouting for help. When they came out of Mitzrayim, and they'd been chosen, Hashem, they'd felt, every Yid felt, that Hashem has examined my CV, and He wants me for the job. Then Hashem said, "Oh, I want to hear them davening, I want to hear them saying Tata, I want to hear them saying Melech, I want to hear them calling me, I want to hear them calling me in a way where they feel that they've got a right to call me." That's, I haven't heard that before, never heard that. And that was the davening of the Yidden before Kriyas Yam Suf. I was a help from Zeuchazan, see Bizus Hayom, and Allah Gita Zachem from the Shira, and Allah Shpuas from the Minna, and to be Mekabal Ol Malchus Shemayim Be'ahava.